Maybe I'm getting mellow in my old age, but I don't like surprises. I don't like shocks. So I prefer to have a backup and a backup to the backup. This way, my life runs a lot smoother. I really have no complaints. I mean, I think I've reached a stage where I've beaten some of the problems that really wear you down.
Right.
And HR is definitely one of them. Human resources, that is one of the big deals of a business. Managing human resources.
So give me some more pointers on that, because I agree with you. I mean, you know, a lot of people, they know, they feel that they should grow their business, but I think one of the reasons they're not is because the main concept of, you know, I gotta hire people. And I think they go into the concept not realizing, number one, like you said, how to hire the right people, because if you hire the right people and even have a backup or two, your business can keep going smoothly, but it's when it's interrupted where the danger is.
Yep.
So what are some of the problem areas with human resources that you found to manage and master?
Well, be fair with them, be honest with them. I like to overpay a little bit. I look at them as my partners. Most of the time, if you overpay for that job, they'll be a little more loyal to you and they won't rob you. So consider it's that $200,000 out of that $1.2 million going out the door. You're paying it up front to good people. They're happy. You're happy. I hear this. I don't think a week goes by when I don't hear, oh, man, people just don't want to work.
Right.
Well, yes and no, but if they don't want to work, so why don't we use that strategy to get people to work for us? And by that, I mean get people who want to work 30 hours, 20 hours. Get two of them instead of one 40-hour.
That doesn't want to really work the 40 hours.
Right. And I found, you know, there are people who want to work, but they don't want to work 40 hours. They really don't. And they produce very well for their 20. They're fresh. They give you every hour's worth. They give you more than your money's worth. But again, that's my personal philosophy. You know, everybody has their own. That's why we've got horse races, you know. I find it works better for me than people who work 50, 60 hours, and I used to have, because I was an 80-hour person, so people were working 60, 65 hours.
Wow.
We paid them well, but when you lose one, man, it's
painful.
It's very painful, especially to you as a business owner. And one of the first things I did was, when I got to a stage when I could afford it, I got a human resource, I got a personnel person, someone who took care of all my staff. I didn't want to hear the little problems. I didn't want to hear that
good
she had a fender bender on her way to work. I didn't want to hear that she came late to work, because that becomes very negative and it wears you down. And you're thinking upwards. You're trying to soar with the eagles, you know, and you say to yourself, my God, but I'm working with turkeys. Well, forget about the turkeys. Just soar with the eagles and let someone else handle those problems, because it's not their business. So they don't take it to heart. It doesn't get into
their system,
their gut.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a punch in the belly. For you, it's a punch in the belly. So let someone else handle it. They're thinking clearer. They can take care of the job, and they're open just for that. So if someone can't make it to work or quit or whatever, well, that HR person fills in. So, you know, there are ways to solve the problems. And I think this is what you call working on the business.
Yes, absolutely.
You sit and you pre-solve the problem
before
it happens, rather than working in the business. So I hope that's a little clearer.
Yeah.
Then there are many little tricks and of the trade, that you will learn things about having a good accountant, things about having the best, someone who specializes in your business is better, always better.
So how good is it, how valuable is a team to you? Obviously, you're already telling me that. I mean, you've got to have the right accountants and CPAs. And in fact, I like the fact that you said it's good to have somebody that knows your business. Bernie Little, as you know, is on this program. And what I did, I found out from his assistant who his CPA was. And then I called his CPA and said, look, I know Bernie, you know, buys and piddles around with jets and airplanes and, you know, same thing that I'm doing. And I want to work toward his level to some degree.
There you go.
I feel very comfortable with that gentleman. I mean, I throw questions at him and he fires them back at me. And I feel comfortable knowing that if he can take care of Bernie, he can certainly take care of me. So how do you look for these people? And give me an idea, man, of your team. I know you have... Your financial planners, and you are, I mean, I don't know if you want to like the word or not, but I look at you as a financial genius. You know your stuff, but you still have financial planners, CPAs, etc. So give me how you structure your team. Give me some info on that.
It's an ongoing thing. It doesn't just happen. It's a time-consuming and ongoing thing. As you go along, you're at a party, you're talking to someone, they may mention, you know, that this is so and so, and
right.
But it's networking. It's thinking about the business 24 hours a day. And again, I'm using the phrase, you're working on the business.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, you've got to keep bettering and getting the very best of who you hire, because one idea that person will give you will save you a lot of money. One friend of mine, actually, he was a supplier. I don't know how the subject came up, but he said, "Is my safety deposit box in my name?" And I said, "Yeah." And my wife also, and I've given my sister-in-law a key in case we both die in an airplane or whatever.
Bad move, I hear.
And you
don't want to do that. Tell people why that's not important. That's a bad thing to do.
And
why do you not put your safety deposit box in your name and give the key to family?
Well, all you guys sitting down listening to this are dying for me to tell you. Well, I won't tell you. We'll leave it for the next tape. I'm just kidding. When you die, the IRS puts up, they seal your box. That's one of the reasons. It comes in the newspaper, the bank, I'm not sure how it works, and I'm not sure if the law has changed or what, has some fiduciary responsibility to the IRS or something to say, look, we red sealed that box, because of course, everybody knows there's an underground economy. So I won't go into that. You do want the right people to get into your box to take out your will or your estate planning or, you know, whatever paperwork it is that needs to be done. But it becomes really, 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 really difficult. But if you put the safety deposit box in your company's name, the company never dies. So even if you die, the officers or whoever you give the key to can always still go in and out of it as if nothing has happened.
Exactly. Or you can form a corporation just for the safe deposit box, I hear, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, this is such a little, again, it's such a little
teeny weeny. It is, but in the future.
But here you go. It's an accident is an accident, and you don't think about it till it happens. So I believe in preventing. As you grow, as your assets grow, there are people who do trusts, who do managing your money after you're gone. You know, there is a hope you don't get arrested by the IRS, but there's a saying that goes, when you die, they actually screw you into the ground, not bury you. Because if you leave young children and so on, they tax you so much that really you don't realize that the kids don't get anything what you thought that they would get. So you end up buying life insurance just to pay the taxes. Mm. And then to pay for the life insurance tax-free, you've got to do something else. And it's a whole that's why you have attorneys who specialize in that. That's all they do.
So that's what you recommend for people? Is it an attorney, or is it a financial planner, or a CPA, or how? So let's stay focused on this one subject matter, protecting assets, just like with trusts and so forth. Who do you recommend? What type of individual? I know you're not going to recommend names, but...
I would say rule of thumb, $500,000 down, you can get a nice, solid will.
$500,000 down. What do you mean?
Value. If your value is $500,000 or less.
Got you.
If your value is over $500,000, I would get a financial planner, because I believe you're exempt. I think it went up to $700,000. Again, I'm not giving financial advice. You've got to talk to the right people, but I think up to the first $700,000. They don't tax you on that. And that happens, of course, on the death of the second person, not the first.
Right. The husband first, then the
wife. But you've got to assume that both of you die in a car crash or a plane crash. You know, you have to assume. You always have to think the worst, that both of you go at the same time. So I think up to $600,000 or $700,000 passes to the heirs without any taxes. So that up to that you can have a will.
Whatever that amount. Right. So if you're not at that level yet, probably not something to be concerned about at this point.
But you will get there, and you can't forget these things. These are very important things, because you don't know when you're gonna die.
So maybe what would be good for some people who are making it a goal to get to that level, if they're not at that level now, say, you know what, when I get my first $500,000 or $750,000, my next goal is to get a good financial planner. And before I get to that point, let me start looking for one now. So that helps them implement the fact that they're looking to work toward that goal.
Now that becomes, again, working on the business.
There you go.
So you go to a party or church or wherever you meet friends or people, you talk. And you'll know who the good financial planners are. And, it may only cost you, I shouldn't say that, $2,000 or $3,000 is a lot of money, but it may cost you as much as $5,000. But then they can help you to save $600,000, $700,000, $800,000 later. So, you know, it's all relative.
Yeah.
And it's where you put your... About 4 years ago, I bought a life insurance policy. It's called Second to Die. I mentioned earlier, on the death of the first person, the first spouse, everything goes to the second, you know, to your wife or to the husband. Mm-hmm. But then when the second person dies, that's when the taxes come in. There is an insurance policy that costs a lot less that insures whoever the second person to die. Mm. It insures both of you, but it only pays off on the death of the second. So it's called a survivor, last survivor, or second to die. Now, I wanted to get the best. And, there are variations to this, and I wanted to hear the different variations before I made up my mind what I wanted. There are some that you put big amounts in. They're called whole life. You pay for 7 years your premiums, and after that, if you can't afford to pay your premiums, you don't have to pay. It carries itself. I like those. I don't like the ones that are term, that you have to pay only $100 a year, because as you get older, it costs you more and more. So I rather bite the bullet while I'm young and I know I can afford to do it, and I'll pay the $7,000 premium for 7 years, and then that's it. It carries, because it makes money after that. Mm-hmm. And you can deem it to be put into a mutual fund as well, and you can even do it so that it comes, your company pays for it. I think it's called split dollar. Again, I might be talking out of turn. No, I'm not giving financial advice, but there is so much. There is so much that if you need to go through those tunnels.
Yeah, and here's an idea I have. Let me know if you would agree with it. Because it is so much, I guess it would be really best, because I know I personally, and you know, I don't consider myself that dumb of a person, but I can still get very overwhelmed with all this when it comes to the protection of your company and the liability corporations, blah, 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 blah. So if you're prone to that, instead of worrying about it, it's just the best to slowly start investing in a good financial planner now.
Yes.
And start picking their brain, somebody you know you feel comfortable with, then you can kind of turn things over to them and let them, you know, run the show for you.
100%. Well, you completely don't want to run them.
Well, yeah.
Them, but yes, let them be the jockey, you be the trainer.
Okay.
Or vice versa.
Right, right.
And because it is life. Just like how we are thirsty, we drink water, and we have to pay taxes or we're going to die, then all these things have to be addressed. So might as well address them. And today, a lot of you know, maybe some of you know everything I've just mentioned. And I bet there are some of you who hadn't heard of anything that I've talked about. So you take from this what's right for you. And sometimes you think you know everything. I remember my daughter when she got her first job and she got her first check. And, you know, these are kids. These are 16-year-old kids. She looked at her check and she saw so much money going to FICA.
Yeah.
And she, you know,
she,
yeah, who this guy? So, well, sweetheart, that's the guy that put the road out there and who has put the clean air out there and who's going to take care of you in your old age. I mean, we have to pay on to Caesar what is due on to Caesar. So taxes are a way of life. But it's perfectly legal to do everything you can to pay as little as possible.
Sure.
In fact, the IRS will help you.
Yeah, they do give classes on
they're
ways to
think good people.
Things to
yeah,
protect yourself.
They're not
and so
bad
forth. I mean,
they're only bad if you try to defraud them or cheat
sure.
them or, you know, but that's like holding up a gas station.
Yeah.
I mean, stealing is stealing. But if you legally find ways to do things, there's absolutely nothing wrong. That's your right as an American.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what made this country great. This is not a communist place. You have a right to do that. And that's how you learn, little by little. Maybe you have group meetings. Maybe you have a round table. It's called round table group of businessmen that get together once every 3 months.
Sure.
For 3, 4, 5 hours, spend a day.
Go back and forth.
And everyone comes up with their best idea. And each of you learns something. There's nothing wrong with that. It's good for you, good for the soul. You learn something. By learning how to save $5,000, and if you're young, remember earlier on I said you actually saved $200,000 because of the investment value of that money 30 years from now. So, you know, you've got to watch your pennies. The dollars will take care of themselves, but you must take care of watch your pennies very carefully.
No, that's really a good point, Manna, because I remember, in fact, this was just recently, I guess it was maybe a couple of years ago, I'd sold an airplane, and tax-wise, they just ate me up. And the accountant that I had, I felt that he was good, but he did not know the aviation business.
That's right.
So immediately, once I made one phone call to the people that knew their stuff, instantly they told me how I could legally, without a problem, make a change within my corporation and immediately save, I guess it was probably, I don't know, $10,000, $15,000 just by having the right person. Now, the guy told me his quote was, as a consultant, $5,000, and I nearly fall off my chair, $5,000 for a consultant. But look at the money, you know, that he saved me.
You
I
still
mean,
came out $10,000 ahead.
Not to mention what I'm going to
come ahead
in. Exactly, in future.
And knowledge. That's like going to school. You
oh,
paid
yeah.
school fees. I believe in it. I sent my kids to the best colleges, to private schools, and I've paid school fees through the yin yang, but they teach you certain things that you cannot pick up any. That's why you have a school called Harvard, and people think it's more important than USF, because right. There's something else there that only the privileged few are taught. And why should it be that way? Why not put it in programs like these, and you, Gary, give this out to the masses so that everybody has a chance to make money? I sat with my surgeon removing my cast 3 days ago on my hand, and we're talking. I mean, we're sitting a foot away because the cast was on my hand, so we were sitting face to face. So we're talking, and somehow it came up, you know, that he's paying 9% mortgage on his house, and I, like you say, I nearly fell over on my chair. I said, "What's the value of your house?" And he said, $350,000. And it doesn't really take a rocket scientist to figure out that's 3% times 3.5. That's like 11,000. That's about 1,000 a month he could save on mortgage payments by refinancing it at 6%. So I said, "Doc, I mean, you're so smart. I trust you to put me under, you know?"
Wow.
"And why are you..." He said, "Because it's so difficult." He tried it once, and the people belittle you, and they ask you all kinds of questions, and he said I just got frustrated, and I said, "Forget it. I'd rather just pay the 9%." I said, "Doc, what if I could do this for you painlessly, while you're eating shrimps and lobsters? Would you do it?" He said, "Of course." I said, "Fine, get a broker." I got a good broker. He just did my home. You know, I was paying 8.5, and now I'm paying 6.375. And interest rates went down after that. So, "Doc, I can just save you, you know, in the course of the next 30 years at almost $12,000 a year."
My money.
It's $360,000, not to mention the value of that first $12,000 that you save 30 years from now. That $12,000, the first $12,000 is probably going to be worth $200,000, and the second one. So I may have saved you millions of dollars. What's wrong? You know,
that's a good analogy you made, though. Here's a man smart enough that you trust to split your arm open, do surgery on you, but it shows the mental laziness sometimes that we have when it comes to understanding how to make money work for us.
Are not stopping to think about these things. Why? Maybe he's too busy working in the business. He didn't stop to think that maybe I need to work on the business. So why do we need to... If we can save the dollars that we make, we can actually work less. And if it means take that time to yourself and watch a football game, hey, more power to you. It's your time, you know?
Yeah.
So these are important things.
Let me be nosy and ask you a question. You still have a mortgage on your house, obviously, you just told
me. Yes.
I know you've been in your house now for, what, maybe 15, 20 years? How long,
yes,
how long have you
20
had?
Years. All right.
And I know you have the money to pay it off.
Yes.
Why are you still financing your house? What's your wisdom? What's
your
thinking
something?
Behind that?
You just read my mind. Because I forgot this. The other thing he told me is his accountant told him to pay off his house, to pay off his mortgage, and I couldn't believe I was hearing this from an intelligent man's, you know. And I said, is he a CPA? He said yes. I said, how could he tell you to pay? That's the only sacred tax break we have left. The government has taken away all tax breaks except home equity loans. You've got to borrow on your home to the hilt, because that's tax exempt, that the interest you can write off the interest.
So then if I'm reading you right, you went ahead and got a second mortgage for some other things.
I owe more on this house now than when I bought it
20 years ago.
I keep borrowing.
Okay.
Because I can write it. If, instead of paying $10 tax, if I borrow the money on the home and I use that as the break and I only pay $8, am I not better off? $2? It's $2 that I never worked for. It's free $2 by just a, what you call a stroke of a pen.
Right.
So, borrow on your home and use that money to make money. Because you can do, you can, when you borrow on your home, it's at 6% today. You can make more than 6%. Otherwise, you shouldn't be in the seminar, shouldn't be listening to Gary. you don't belong here if you can't make 6%, more than 6%. For every percent you make, you're ahead of the game. Am I right?
Yeah, makes sense to me. So, you got these three new franchises now. And obviously, I'm going to have to assume, hopefully rightfully, that you did not, you know, buy those cash. You went ahead and borrowed money, right?
Oh, yes, sir.
Give me the thinking on that. Okay. You know what? That's a headache, man. You're borrowing more money. You're going to be in debt again. And, you know, the whole scenario with the mentality of the people who are not real entrepreneurs.
Yeah. No, very true. A lot of people, or in the old days, we used to say, hey, if you can't buy it for cash, don't buy it.
Yeah.
And that was a good philosophy at that time. Again, it's like the penny saved, penny earned. Things have changed. Today, I've bought two more franchises. I have three. I'm putting each one in a separate corporation. I'm borrowing the money separately. If something goes wrong, God forbid, man, woman, or child walk into the place, slips on something, falls down, drops dead for whatever reason, I don't lose all three. I'm restricted to losing one. It's a separate corporation. It's protection of your assets.
So then if you bought that franchise cash and whatever, some, like you said, God forbid something happened, if it's cash, they can take the whole cash from you.
Yep.
If you're financing it, you don't really own it. The bank does.
That's right.
Now, my question to you is, let's say 20 years from now, I'm just throwing numbers. Let's say your franchise was $100,000. 20 years from now, you only owe $30,000. You got $70,000 of equity. What do you do now? You've got $70,000 of quote-unquote unprotected assets. You're going to borrow again for other things?
Of course. You keep doing that. But again, you and I, we hire people to give us this advice. We're not giving financial. We're giving system
principles.
As principles. Mm-hmm. So your own CPA is the best person to tell you, and make sure the CPA knows the business. So get somebody who knows the business, let him advise you the best way for taxes, or in case there's a problem or a loss. You know, it's part of insuring yourself against, you know, I have this fear of being poor. That's the only reason I made money.
Right. You mentioned that in your first interview. Okay. Yeah, keep going on that.
Every now and then I mention it to someone and they say, you know, I felt the same way too, but I was afraid to tell anybody because it sounds so hokey. But the thing about me is I'll talk about anything. In this program alone, we've talked about body odor and tampons. So, you know, I will talk about everything. And I am just scared to death of being poor. That's my motivation. Some people would say it's negative motivation. But I read in articles not too long ago, 4 or 5 years ago, that is what motivates a lot of people.
Absolutely.
To get rich. So my motivation has been, I just don't want to be poor. I want to buy whatever I want. I want my kids to have whatever they want. And poor is not good. It's a hollow feeling to me. I mean, I don't want to, just thinking about it puts, you know, chills up my spine. I don't like that. And, you know, and I have been poor and I have been rich. And again, people, you know, everybody will tell you rich is better. You have to find your own button. You have to know what motivates you. And, you know, I, the other thing I used to do is I used to write down my goals. I found it helped me a lot. My first goal was a Mercedes. Write it down. Write it down. It's something happens when you write something down. It goes from your fingers deep into your brain. And it stays in your subconscious, trapped till it wants to break out of your subconscious, and that's when you reach the goal. It will finally break out.